Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us for this hour Dr. Joseph Douglas. I've spent many years working in intelligence, other jobs back in Washington, D.C., and right now, of course, he is trying to educate people. He's written a couple of excellent books. One was Red Cocaine. His most recent book is Betrayal. It's the story of the men we abandoned in the First and Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. And you must understand that many of these people were taken to Moscow, where they were used for the experiments. And yet last night we interviewed Dr. Douglas. We were going to talk about the mind control drugs that were developed by the KGB, by their experiments used on American POWs. And our government has known this all the time. And how have we tried to retaliate or get our boys back? Why? We've told the Russians we don't want them. Of course, we would never tell the families that, but this is the underlying truth of the matter. And, of course, Dr. Douglas had the unique opportunity to interview at great length a Major General Senya, who is the highest-ranking Czechoslovakian officer ever to defect to the West, who knew a great deal about what happened to our boys, who knew a great deal about the drug experiments, but he also knew about the plan of the communist to change America and destroy America. And so we really developed that idea last night. I thought that was so vitally important. What Dr. Douglas had actually learned from this high-ranking communist officer about their plan, their attack on America. So, Dr. Douglas, can we just get a little bit into that? Because I thought that was really so vitally important, how they set out to destroy the institutions of the United States and how they've done such a great job accomplishing that.
That certainly was a fascinating discussion we had last night, Dr. Stan. And I think the thing that came out at the bottom end of it was the fact that there's a number of different efforts all underway to destroy the United States, its culture and its sovereignty and its wealth and independence. Some of these were run by the Comintern. Some of them were run by communist intelligence services. And an equal number were run by the large foundations and other domestic interests right here in the United States. Of course, all these different groups of people seem to have the same fundamental worldview in mind, which is a new world order, elitism, survival of the fittest, and very much anti-God and all the guidance contained in the Bible.
And I really think the hardest thing for many Americans to accept is that people of great wealth and great influence would have exactly the same goal as the communists and the leaders of communism and the KGB and their agents working in this country. But yet, of course, that really is the reality. They already want a new world order and a different religion, don't they?
Absolutely. And I guess the one person who said it best back in the 1800s is a statement attributed to Baron Rothschild when he said, "I don't care who makes the laws so long as I control the money."
And, of course, that's, in many respects, what it's all about. Nobody's ever told the average American what is in the Patriot Act. Do you realize that half of it has to do with money and regulation of money? Oh, you hear about the sneak and peek attacks, you hear about the library, but they never tell you what's in the bill. And most people have never read it. Half of that bill has to do with control of money, because if they can control the money, they can control you. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Joe Douglas. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Joe Douglas, who spent many years working back in Washington, D.C. in intelligence, and more recently has been writing, trying to educate the American people about what's going on. His two books, Red Cocaine, and of course more recently Betrayed, the story of the American POWs who were betrayed by their government. A shocking story, reviewing all the other books that have been written about this, and then basing so much of the information on Dr. Douglas's personal opportunity to interview a Major General Jan Senya, who is the highest ranking Czechoslovakian military officer ever to defect to the West. And of course, from General Senya, why Dr. Douglas learned a great deal about drugs. But I thought maybe this hour, if it's all right with Dr. Douglas, we would go into what he had actually learned from Major General Senya about the attack on the fundamentals, the foundations, the very structure of America. So do you want to pick up that story? Because I think it's so vital that people understand how they've infiltrated every one of our major institutions, and this is why we're having so much problems today.
Certainly, Dr. Stan. I think the place to start in examining this problem is with the Russian Revolution, or coup, of 1917. This is when the Bolsheviks came in and seized power, with, we might add, a great deal of assistance and financial support from various international financial institutions and high-ranking personalities. What happened after that revolution is there were another succession of revolutions in various parts of Germany and particularly Hungary that turned out to have been displaced by the people. The people rose up and would not tolerate the communist governments that were being imposed on them. Most notable in this regard was the one we talked about in Hungary, the Bela Kun regime. In the aftermath of these failed revolutions, a number of very famous communist theoreticians, a Hungarian by the name of Gheorghe Lukács, and an Italian by the name of Antonio Gramsci, in particular, asked the question of, well, why didn't the revolutions go forward? Why did they fail? The conclusion that both of these gentlemen reached was that the inherent defense provided by the culture stood in the way of the revolution going forward. And of course,
hold that thought for just a moment. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas, and he's talking about aftermath of the Russian Revolution and how there were various communist theoreticians, one in Italy, one in one of the other countries, who were asking why did the communist revolutions fail after the First World War in Germany and in Hungary, and they came to the conclusion that the communist revolutions in those countries failed after the First World War because the culture, the people didn't want to be communist, they didn't want to give up their individual freedom, they had a belief in God and in family and country, they didn't want to give up everything and embrace this whole idea that destroys what you and I might adhere to. So you pick up the story from there, Dr. Douglas.
Yes, they concluded that the culture stood in the way. The answer then that they both reached was that the revolution could not go forward until they really were able to infiltrate and destroy this culture from within. So both of these gentlemen set about devising the plans whereby Communist International, or the Comintern, would infiltrate the cultures, especially the Western cultures, send their own agents into all of the various institutions, mobilize people, particularly people in the media and other places that they considered were especially critical, and bring about a destruction of the very culture that stood in the way of allowing the revolutions to go forward. In the case of the Hungarian Lukács, his work was basically formalized with the establishment of what became known as the Frankfurt School. And this was formed in about 1922 in Frankfurt, Germany. Then before World War II broke out, they decided to move. They located temporarily in Switzerland, and then after having some grants of money and some doors opened in advance, they moved to the United States to Columbia University, where they set up shop and proceeded to, from their vantage point there, to begin to study how to infiltrate and bring down the culture in the United States. During World War II, a number of those people actually formed some of the key analysis groups that looked at the same problem in Germany and how to bring down that culture and replace it with a communist culture. They infiltrated much of the education establishment, which was already being taken over by another group at Columbia, which was the Teachers College at Columbia, that had come under the control of people like John Dewey and Counts and a number of other people who were dyed-in-the-wool Marxists and actually quite openly Marxist, and who had the idea that the main way to change the United States into a socialist Marxist society was by re-educating the people and by controlling the education of the youth.
And of course then they would oppose the youth learning about the values of our country or our forefathers or really the advantage of a free society, that they would really attack the very foundations of their belief in God and family and country. Wasn't that really what they were after?
Absolutely. And they set about basically to replace all of the traditional beliefs in our culture with the beliefs that would support a new culture based on socialism, Marxism, and communism. Now, it turns out that they were very effective and successful in this, particularly because they had unlimited supply of money to accomplish their aims. This money came from the large foundations such as the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, Guggenheim Foundation, Marshall Fields Foundation, later the Ford Foundation. And these foundations decided that they were really focused on the need to change society, and also they had a Marxist or a socialist bent, if you will, and their focus was more on the universities, while the Dewey group, of course, was focused on the high schools and secondary schools. So while one group was working to change the process of education and turn teachers into change agents in the grade schools and high school systems, this other group, spearheaded by the Rockefeller and the Carnegie Foundation, set about to capture the various instruments most effective in controlling and directing the foreign policy and domestic policy of the United States.
And, you know, I think that one of the hardest things for the average human being, the average American, the rational individual, to accept is the fact that the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, Guggenheim, and the others, are really working to bring socialism to this country, to replace our form of government with a Marxist, elitist system, to do away with freedom as we've known it, and ultimately to bring every individual under the control of a centralized authority, which is really a return to a feudalistic system. Why would people of great wealth want to do that? You would think they would want to support the capitalist system, but why do you think that these people no longer embrace these concepts of free enterprise and freedom, but they seem to embrace this concept of total control of the individual?
Well, I think they were fundamentally a group of elitist people who believed they had the answers and that they and they alone were destined to rule the United States and the world. Of course, anybody that has an elitist mentality has to recognize that the United States was founded on exactly the reverse mentality, one where the state existed to serve the people and not the reverse, which is what you have in an elitist organization. So to bring about that world which they saw to be best, this new world order, if you will, they had to destroy, to bring down all those principles and values upon which our country had been founded.
And I really think that is such an important issue. And, of course, Dr. Douglas, last night when we talked, mentioned, of course, a book by William McElhenney. But it's hard, very hard to get, almost impossible. Copies of the report of the Reese Committee, which was commissioned by the 83rd Congress to investigate the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundation and find out why they had played such an instrumental part in bringing communism to China back in 1948. But of course, the third source of information is a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which is really, really easy to get. It's a book I read 42 years ago that changed my life and brought me into this battle. It was written by Rennie Wormser, who is the counsel for the Reese Committee, which was commissioned by the 83rd Congress to find out that question, why are these people of great wealth pushing socialism and communism right here in the United States? The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence is an unforgettable book. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We recommend it to you. We've kept this book in print for the last 10 years because it is seminal to an understanding of the not only the geopolitical and financial, but the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. So pick up the story there, Dr. Douglas.
You know, Dr. Stan, that book is so key. I wish everybody could read it. It strikes me as probably the single most important book because it lays out the documentations. It shows that what we're not talking about is what we're talking about is not a figment of our imagination, but it actually did exist. The books describe, for example, the conclusions reached by the Carnegie Foundation that the best way to change the social conditions in the United States and particularly the belief system was by instituting their changes in the middle of war. And hence they were particularly motivated to bring about World War I and our entry into World War I. And then they even wrote a letter to the president asking, Wilson at the time, asking that he not end the war too quickly because they wanted the opportunity to get the changes that they wanted to make implemented while people would not notice in the middle of the war.
And of course, what they really wanted was the League of Nations, the world government, the destruction of American sovereignty and American freedom. And of course, when the League of Nations failed, then, well, we had to have another war. And of course, now we're going to have another war as well, because the people here in America still want to maintain our sovereignty and their freedom, and they don't really understand they would be much better off under the control of an elite who know so much better what's good for us and our children. They're quite willing to send them off to fight in useless wars, and there are too many people in the world anyway. In fact, that's one of the thrusts of the Rockefeller Foundation is population control and limiting the population of the world. So the two sort of go together. War is population control. Disease, suppressing treatments for diseases and cancer, things of that sort. It sounds incredible, but, well, of course, if you want documentation on anything we say, why, we've got it for you. So pick up the story there, Dr. Douglas.
One of the main mechanisms they recognized they had to get to was the people who really were the intellectual leaders in this country, because these are the people that formulate the ideas and to whom the people look up to. So one of the first most major operations they undertook was the effort to take control of the social sciences in universities across the land to fund graduate students and doctoral candidates to rewrite American history and to then get them into the key positions, to form all sorts of social science activities and policy organizations where the policy ideas are advanced, and staff these organizations all with their own carbon copies, people who believed exactly as they did. But not only that, they then set about with this expertise to infiltrate all the policy centers within the government, so that by 1955, they had basically a dominant control over the foreign policy and domestic policy apparatus of the United States.
And I think that's the most incredible thing. And the book was basically written in 1958. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. That's Foundations, Their Power and Influence. You can't understand anything going on in our society until you understand these people of great wealth who have a different worldview, a different world vision, march to a different drumbeat, dream a different dream. worship a different God. The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, Dr. Joe Douglas, and he's talking about the effort to infiltrate the various institutions of the United States and how the communists were working and the KGB was working, but they had help. They had help from the great tax-exempt foundations, and don't think for one minute they didn't know what they were doing. That's why Congress commissioned the Reese Committee back in 1953 to find out why the great tax-exempt foundations had been so intent in bringing communism to China. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Douglas.
I think it's particularly relevant here now to take a look at what the communist agents are doing at the same time you have this infiltration of the universities and the institutions by the major tax foundations taking place. And that was to infiltrate the various organs of our government, from the White House, the intelligence services, the Treasury, the Commerce, the defense area, all of those areas, with a massive infiltration of communist agents. Now, many people like Representative Dye and later Senator McCarthy tried to warn us about what was happening. In reality, we now know that the situation was far worse than any of them really suspected. We know that because of a large cache of intelligence intercepts known as the Venona Papers were recently made public in the early 1900s, in the early 1990s, excuse me. And what those show is the tremendous number of communist agents that had been identified at various places in the government.
And, of course, the president's closest advisor, Harry Hopkins, FDR's post advisor, was looked as a communist asset by the communists. His personal secretary, Lachlan Curry, was a communist. The communists were in almost every department there in Washington, D.C. Of course, they were working to bring about a socialist America, not a communist America, a socialist America. But, of course, anybody who ever mentioned that sort of thing was relegated to the loony bin, because there are many people who are not communists at all who want exactly the same goal, an elitist system by which we will all be controlled by a massive bureaucracy that will control us from the cradle to the grave. And it is the people who are not communists working in that direction that, of course, were covered by the communists, because when we found the communists, we said, oh, well, that's the reason these things are going on. But there were lots of other people with these same goals, weren't there? These elitists?
No, absolutely, no question about it. And I think that you really put your finger on what made it work, and that's the fact that you had a number of communist agents working actively, and living for that matter, in the White House. So you had at the highest levels of our government protection afforded to all the other communists throughout the rest of the government. One of the best examples was our intelligence service, the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner, of course, of the CIA. And one of the things the Verona intercepts showed us was that there were 100 known communists in the OSS, and that at least a third of those were believed to be active communist agents. Now just think of that. That's an enormous number in one agency. And not only that, but as a number of defectors from the communist side have indicated to us, such as Elizabeth Bentley, for example, and Whitaker Chambers, the first duty of any of these communist agents is to bring in other communist agents. So if you know there's 100 communists in this one agency, the OSS, you can understand that the actual number was significantly greater than that. And of course, these then proceeded, as you indicated, Dr. Stan, to really push socialism. It got so bad, as a matter of fact, that in the mid-60s, when their sponsorship of organizations and various media and nonprofit organizations was revealed, it turned out that almost every single one of them was an organization that was pushing socialism. It was so obvious that Senator Goldwater, who at that time back then, I believe, was on the Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee, made the rather wry remark that he couldn't quite understand it. Here you had an agency of the government, an intelligence agency, the CIA, who was funding many organizations around the country and news outlets and journals and book publishers, and in all cases, they were pushing socialism, not democracy.
And, of course, there's so many strange things going on that people really don't understand. It really doesn't make sense unless, of course, we recognize that behind all of this are the spiritual forces moving us towards the New World Order, the New World Religion. And then it all begins to make sense because it's not simply communism and socialism. And there are lots of communists and socialists, but there are lots of other people who have exactly the same goal. But they all worship a different God than we do. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Joe Douglas, and of course we carry his book, Betrayed, and if you haven't read it, you really should. You need to understand how our boys were betrayed and left behind knowingly and intentionally, between 20 and 25,000 of them during the Second World War. How would you feel if that was your brother or your father or your son that was left behind? And if you doubt that, we have the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report, the so-called Helms Committee report, totally suppressed by the controlled media because they can't let the American people know the truth. Why, you wouldn't want to send your boys overseas to fight if you realize that your government would betray them if they were captured by the enemy, and although their fellow soldiers would do everything to get them back. The Henry Kissingers of this world would betray them, anything, and then they would lie about it, and lie, and lie, and lie. And those of you who have heard our other stories on this realize how true that is. But right now, of course, we've been talking about how the communists had infiltrated the various institutions of this country, and it's not simply the communists, because they could never have done this without the help of the people from the great tax-exempt foundations and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers, and so you have these two groups, and they all have the same goal. And of course, as we focus on the communists, we miss the people of great wealth who are working towards exactly the same goal. But we're really talking about an elitist system and the end of freedom as we know it. So why don't you sort of pick up the idea of how they have infiltrated our institutions, not simply education, but you were talking last night how they infiltrated our religious ceremonies, seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant. Would you like to pick up that story?
This is true, Dr. Stan. You know, it's interesting as we look at this to recognize you have these different operations all proceeding in parallel, because what we'll see is we'll see them all come together in the 1960s. We did not mention yet today the religious institutions. And, of course, religion is the antithesis of communism. They recognized full well that their primary enemy was Christianity. Therefore, they devised a technique to turn the churches so that they would really support Soviet policy rather than Christ's policy, if you will. They had two main ways that they did this. Number one, they would recruit the leadership in the clergy of various religious institutions, either by persuasion or by blackmail, where that was necessary. Number two, the people who were really very strong believers and not about to be recruited into communism were simply destroyed by exposing them or misdeeds they might have done. After all, they're only human. And in some cases, by providing drugs to them covertly that would cause them to either go insane or self-destruct. And of course, this was tremendously effective in Eastern Europe and to a great extent Western Europe as well. More to the point, over here in the United States and in Latin America, they took the road of mainly infiltrating over a long period of time the seminaries with students who were really recruited Soviet agents to undergo the seminary education and then enter the priesthood or ministry and become pastors and ministers.
And how about a professor at a religious seminary?
And professors at the seminaries that were going to be teaching the subsequent people. And then they would orchestrate splits among theology, trying to basically split organizations. They would encourage the development of the liberal philosophies. In the case of the Catholic Church, they had Czechoslovakia alone had three priests inside the Vatican in key positions, and there were funds from other East European countries as well, so you can see that the Vatican was well infiltrated by the late 1950s, so much so that they were able to basically bring about a major change in Catholic policy, which was that they were no longer anti-communist among the Catholics. This was a policy introduced by John the 23rd, I believe, and then followed up on by Pope Paul the 6th. Then they brought about Vatican II, which they had their own representatives there, and caused a liberalization of the theology. And following that, then they had the introduction of liberation theology, which actually had been written in Moscow in 1960. So what you have is you have all this long-term efforts to infiltrate the colleges, the policy centers, the high schools, even the religious institutions. And then we see all this change really bubbling over and coming together in the 1960s. This is when you had the student revolts, which were possible because they had all these Marxist professors which were egging them on. This was the time when Marcuse, a main product of the Frankfurt School, which was a Comintern operation, came in with all his theories, all of which were done in the idea of a revolt against authority and the destruction of our basic institutions, which were what they were after.
But of course, once they destroyed our institutions, they would no longer allow revolt against authority. Only in a free society can you be critical. In a communist society, you're critical and you're off to the gulag or off to a communist prison camp. And of course, this is exactly what they want. Destroy the society and then, of course, bring in their fist system, all power to the bureaucracy.
Yes, and you know, the beautiful quote that illustrates that, Dr. Stan, is the quote of Marcuse, where he was defining liberation tolerance. And he said, this is tolerance to all ideas of the left and intolerance to all ideas from the right. And that just encapsulates precisely what you're speaking about. And of course, the destruction of the church, and the liberalization of the church from within, really began to draw great fruit in the 1960s when people started losing faith by the thousands, and when we then took a prayer out of the school system, which was possible to do now then, because so much of the faith had been eroded in preparation for those events.
Well, I remember there was a man in Southern California who had infiltrated the Communist Party for the FBI. His name was Carl Prussian, and he was approached to go to a religious seminary. And there, of course, he was to become, I don't know, an Episcopalian minister, something of that sort. What a wonderful place to be able to influence the people in the community. Because, of course, the ministers are the religious leaders, and we wonder why we have so many people who are dedicated leftists who embrace everything wrong today. And of course now we see the whole message of the church change and the music of the church change, and this is being done very intentionally, because you destroy a religion that's one of the major pillars of a free society. But they don't want a free society. They have a different world vision.
That's true. And of course the 1960s is also where the effort to really move drugs into the United States was in a major acceleration mode. This had been started by Communist China, basically, in 1949. The Soviets picked up on the idea and added that to their strategic intelligence operations in 1955. And in 1960, they went operational. And you can just see the use of drugs curves, where it takes a step upwards. The instant the Communist Chinese start, it plateaus through the 50s, and then it takes off like a rocket when the Soviet action comes online in 1960-61 time frame. And of course, one of the you look at some of the major objectives that the Soviets had in introducing the drugs and pushing them into the United States was to undermine the youth, to corrupt the youth so that the leaders 10-20 years from now would be weak leaders because they'd been brought up on drugs, to undermine the strength of the youth to partake in the military because they knew how damaging the drugs were to the physiology of the young men. Of course, we saw that then happen, actually take place in Vietnam. You have the drugs intended to really destroy the American work ethic. And one of the things that made America great was this tremendous independence and can-do attitude, a pride of accomplishment, and this work ethic. And the drugs were deliberately introduced to undermine that ethic.
And of course, for those who weren't on the hard drugs, now we've got Ritalin for all of our children. The president is suggesting mental health screening for every citizen. Because after all, when you're screened and you're found that you have some aberrant ideas, obviously you'll need to be on some form of medicine. We've got Brian calling from Philadelphia. Hi, Brian. Did you have a question to comment?
Yes, sir. I'd like to know why, you know, this country is so hard on Cuba. I mean, you can't even buy a Cuban cigar. But yet, we trade freely with China, you know, with just about everything.
All right, fine. Would you like to tackle that? That's a very, very provocative and very good, legitimate question. Do you have any thoughts on that, Dr. Douglas?
My only thought is that you've had a political contest over Cuba, perhaps because it's so close, but we have not done anything really seriously against Cuba. Because it was agreed that we wouldn't, and as a part of resolving the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962. But then I think that politically, because it has been tied to communism so much, and because the United States as a whole basically recognized the disasters of communism, and here we're talking about communism, not socialism, that politicians had to do everything behind the scenes, those that wanted to resolve relationships with Cuba, and it was much better, I think, to just use it as an example that we're really not being patsy to the communists, while in fact, where the large countries are concerned, such as the Soviet Union and China, we go out of our way and bend over backwards to give them everything they want, it seems. So that would be my guess.
And Brian, I think you have to understand it's all perception. I mean, on one hand, we can't have Cuban cigars, but if you are a person living in Cuba and you hate the system there, and you're willing to risk your life and the life of your family and to get a little boat, and you start off of those 90 miles of shark-infested waters, and you're almost inside a land, and the American Coast Guard sees you, they'll arrest you and send you back to Fidel Castro, because we're supporting Fidel Castro, but we can't let the American people that, so we have this this whole facade over so anti-communist. But let me tell you today, we are the sixth largest trader with communist Cuba, and they're getting so much of their food from us. The only restriction on that is, of course, they can't borrow any money from us, but you can't buy a Cuban cigar, and it's all show business. It's what's known as symbolism over substance, of rhetoric over reality. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for calling. And that was Brian calling from Philadelphia. Well, we could take one more call if you had a question, but let's try to keep to the subject because we're really talking about the communist infiltration of our basic institutions. And they infiltrated our educational system. They infiltrated certainly our religious institutions. What else did Major General Senya tell you? Did he tell you about the military or certainly government? Are they continuing to infiltrate government? Were there socialists working in government?
Absolutely. The infiltration continues, and I think it happens also in places that people tend not to recognize. For example, the FBI. The FBI has been regarded as, and rightfully so, as one of the most patriotic organizations around. But again, we have a great deal of image that comes in here and confuses things with reality, because the Soviets actually looked at the efforts to, say, address the problem of organized crime and the congressional hearings in 1951, and again the second set in 1962-3, and came to the conclusion that there was absolutely no serious intent do away with organized crime, that it was all for image, these hearings. And they believed that J. Edgar Hoover was the largest crook in the United States, and the only reason he stood in power, stayed in power, was because of all the incriminating evidence he had on the congressmen.
They were pretty smart. They're a lot smarter than most conservative, patriotic Americans.
That's right. And it turns out that one of the major problems that grew up and is now exploding in the United States is, of course, international organized crime, which J. Edgar Hoover wouldn't permit anyone to believe existed, and it never existed insofar as the FBI was concerned until after Hoover's death. And the development of international organized crime and its transformation from various mafia-type organizations and mom-and-pop organizations into what really would be regarded as international criminal capitalism was actually the product of a Soviet intelligence operation began in 1955.
Is that the Russian Mafia, what we refer to as the Russian Mafia?
Far more than that, because it is, yes, but people don't recognize that that's an outgrowth and spinoff, really, of the KGB organized crime operation that was immensely successful and got so successful they decided that they had to spin off part of it before people really recognized that it was really a KGB operation.
Well,
that was underway there.
Okay, we've got Ben calling from Salinas. Ben, did you have a question?
Yes, pursuant to your subject, we bless what's going on in Russia. We bless and send our jobs to China, and we supposedly hate communism. And yet, I understand, at Guantanamo Bay, don't we give Castro something like $1 billion a year for the rental of that place? Why, oh why, in God's America, can't we send Jim Webb, the man they tried to destroy over the CIA drug thing in San Jose Mercury, why can't they send Mr. Webb to Guantanamo Bay to let us, we the people whose tax dollars they're running on, tell us what's being done in our name?
Well, of course, Mr. Webb can no longer get a job anywhere in the media because he told the truth about the CIA and drugs. And I don't know, I've never heard that we were giving Castro $1 billion a year.
That's what I've heard.
Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
All right.
Arafat. And,
well, you think they're letting us stay there free?
I don't know. Why don't you check? Why don't you get some documentation and get it to me?
I will do that.
God bless you. Thanks so much for calling. Okay, that was Ben calling from Salinas, and it may be true, but I just have never heard it, and I've got my ear pretty close to the ground, but sometimes I certainly miss things, too. Well, Dr. Douglas, we've got about 2 minutes. Why don't you sort of wrap up your thoughts about what's going on?
Well, let me put a postscript on what we've said, which I think is key, because the reason all this is able to go forward is we don't see it happening. The reason we don't see it happening is because the media and the academicians and the people in policy and government have been very effective going back to the 1920s in hiding the crimes of communism, particularly those of the Soviet Union. This has been so clearly evident that it was really the subject of a major book, the Black Book of Communism, that raised the question as to why are the academics and the politicians totally silent about the worst government in many centuries committing and all the crimes it committed over this past 100 years, and in reality continues to commit.
And of course that's very interesting. Everybody knows about the 6 million Jews in Germany, but nobody knows about the 60 million people who were killed in Soviet Russia consolidating their power. So Dr. Douglas, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you here. We're still going to have to get you back and talk on those the effect of the drugs that the Soviets perfected experimenting on American soldiers, with, of course, the knowledge of our own leaders, but, of course, never letting the American people know, because we might be horrified to realize that our government had betrayed our servicemen. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, that was the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and those people who do not know what happened at Waco, you know, this was one of the first great atrocities. First of all, they had the effort to kill Randy Weaver after, first of all, tricking him into entrapping him with one of their agents, a man he thought was his friend. And really, it was rather frightening, because you never know when you're dealing with a government agent. This man befriended Randy Weaver for 2 or 3 years, but his purpose was to entrap him so they could get him to commit a crime, so they could then control him and get him to infiltrate an organization they wanted infiltrated. And they ended up killing his son and his daughter. And of course, one of their own marshals was shot in the back by one of his own people. But of course, the American people were never told. That's part of it. But then, of course, there was what happened at Waco. Well, we have a video. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. I think we only have one or two copies of it left. But you will actually hear the interviews with the people who talked to the special forces murderers who went in. They were sent in by our government. Now, they were, I'm sure, told that what they were doing was all right. It was all right to kill these women and children. They were subversive. They were part of a plot to kill Americans, to overthrow the government or something, because most of the people in special forces are patriotic people. But they went in and they actually assassinated them. And you'll actually hear people who've talked to the special forces people. This video is hard to get. It is really one of the most devastating aspects of what happened, because the people at Waco were simply murdered by the government. There was no justification for the initial attack. They could have arrested Corus at any time. They wanted an issue, and then, of course, that led to the Oklahoma City bombing. And of course, you need to get the information on Timothy McVeigh, who was working for a special forces team. You want to verify that? Give us a call. We'll tell you where you can get the information. You need to have it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many people out there will want find out if we're telling the truth, if the information we have is accurate, and we can usually verify just about everything we say from documentation that I don't think you can question. But so if you, we hope many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and then of course if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warm. If you'd like to know the truth about what happened of the Kennedy assassination, we've got a great tape sets on that, or we have our Kennedy assassination special where you'll actually hear Lyndon Johnson's mistress talking about the plan the night before when they were planning the murder of John Kennedy. And then, of course, we have interviews with the colonel who's immortalized on Oliver Stone's film JFK, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty. And then, of course, you'll get the books, Kill Zone. You'll get the information you're never going to get elsewhere on the murder of an American president. And then we have a Vietnam special. We have a Pagan Agenda special. We have an Oklahoma City bombing special. And you'll actually hear my interview with Clark Brewster. I don't think anybody else did an interview with him. He was the one who defended Carol Howe, a young socialite, a foolish young lady who infiltrated the Elohim City thinking she was doing something patriotic to protect her country. She was a patriot, and they indicted her, and they were going to send her to prison. Why? Because she was going to testify in Timothy McVeigh's trial that they knew ahead of time exactly what was going to happen, because she had told them, but of course they couldn't let that out. Well, anyway, Clark Brewster was her attorney, and it's a fascinating interview, and so much else you're going to get in the Radio Liberty specials or in our tapes. We've recorded the history in our JFK special. You'll hear an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Bet you never heard one of those before. And our secret government special, you'll hear the interview with Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor. You'll hear my interview with Norman Dodd, director of research for the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford. The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, is so vitally important. It is a book that changed my life 40 years ago, and we've kept it in print. But you need to understand how these people of great wealth are working to establish a fascist state here, and behind them, the dark spirits of forces. Now, the spirits of forces aren't covered in the book Foundations, but they're covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or in the video by that name, certainly in the audio tape cassette. You can get them all together as the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can go there. You can look up all the specials and all the things we talk about. You can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day somewhere in America on radio. You can listen 5 hours a day on your computer, on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave. And if you don't have a shortwave set, we actually carry them. The Stanzian, I think, 505, which is a great shortwave set. But the key to shortwave is a good aerial. You're going to have the best shortwave in the world and no aerial or antenna, and you're not going to get good reception. Whereas this, you get this shortwave we're offering, and of course you'll get excellent reception. And then you can listen to our programs 4 hours a day, and your job is to tell others about Radio Liberty, to encourage them to listen, to become involved, to become informed, to help us get the truth out across America, the truth that you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or from Bill O'Reilly, or from Peter Jennings, or from Dan Rather, or from Tom Brokaw, or any of the other establishment commentators who are paid so much not to reveal but to conceal the truth from the American people. And remember the book Betrayed by Dr. Joe Douglas, excellent book on the men we left behind. And lastly, pray for America. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. Pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason God should ever bless us again? And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.